Look at verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which means they show up. Which are these? When you are controlled by the flesh, these are some things that will show up. This is a sure sign. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Quite a list, isn't it? That list covers a lot of things. We're going to do our best just to kind of make it clear to you. Notice the middle of the verse. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We are going to deal with verses 19 through 23. I believe this passage separates right there. And then we're going to deal with verses 24, 25, and 26. I want you to notice tonight, the title of this passage from Galatians in this series is this: Foundation Forms the Fruit. Foundation forms the fruit. Look at me. Your foundation spiritually will dictate the kind of fruit you will bear in your life. If you're not bearing the right kind of fruit, and if you're not seeing the right kind of fruit, you can say, well, I just don't think the preacher's good enough at my church, or I don't think this, or I don't think that. Look at me, folks. If the fruit's not coming out the way it should, and it's not the right kind of fruit, that means there are problems in your foundation. That's what we're dealing with tonight. Father, we need you. We ask for your guidance. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to go through this as quickly as I can. You got to understand what each of these things are. The fruits of the flesh. First tonight, we're going to look at the fruits of the flesh. Second, we're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit. Very simple. The fruits of the flesh are this: adultery. It says, first off, adultery is going outside the rightful bounds of marriage for morally wrong satisfaction. You understand what that is. That is a sure sign that you're being controlled by the flesh. By the way, why is it so important that we walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh? Because you don't want to end up there at adultery. You say, well, that won't happen to me. You better guard your tongue, dear person. That can happen to anybody. That can happen to anybody. That can happen to anybody. Second thing he says is fornication. Well, fornication includes adultery, incest. It's sexual impurity, most of the time outside of marriage. If a young man and a young woman who are not married to each other or anybody else, and they do that which is wrong morally, they are committing fornication. If a husband is married to a wife and he leaves that bounds of marriage and satisfies his lust in a wrong way with a different person, that's adultery. So you understand, both things are of the flesh. Don't you ever justify that by saying, well, I just found my soulmate. No, you just sinned. Don't say, well, my wife's just never, or my husband's just never really, you know, met my needs and different things. And don't you dare try to justify, don't you dare try to put God's stamp on something that is of the devil. Okay, now you know where I stand on that. Uncleanness, that is physical or moral impurity. Uncleanness. That means in thoughts, action, the places you go, the things you look at, the things you see. Oh, dear Lord, help. I'm getting ready to say some things that when I get done, I'm going to feel like getting in my car and leave. Because every time I think everybody's going to be mad at me and they're thinking I'm just meddling, and I'm not, folks, but look at me. We are fighting a real devil right now. You better watch how your kids dress. I'm not telling you what they're supposed to wear. We don't have rules here. We're not, you know, here to govern what you do at home. Look at me, Mom and Dad. You got to understand. When you let your daughter dress ungodly, you say, well, she's just innocent, she don't. Yeah, but the guys looking at her aren't. And a guy looks at her and sees her body and the clothing that accents certain things, and they lust after that, you'll answer for that. That's uncleanness. And we don't want anybody looking at your daughter that way. So you think, well, you're trying to tell me what to do at home. No, I'm not. It's your home. You do what you feel led, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. And we're doing it because we love you. Thank God I have three sons. I'll let them wear spandex all they want to. I don't care. Especially my four-year-old. All right, yeah, I'm going to have to get in the car and leave right after. I can see it now. The fourth thing he mentions is lasciviousness. What is that? That is lewd or filthy behavior. You say, well, that's just for the heathens of society. Uh-uh. I've heard Christians say more lewd and filthy things than sometimes people in the world. You get a backslidden Christian, you'll find one of the most filthy talking people in this world. And those that get old and senile. And then they really come out with some doozies too, but we won't. Or if they're under medication. Right, Miss Dorcas? If they're under medication, they can. I said you can say some bad things too when you're under medication. Is that right? Right before you're going into surgery, is that right? We're on the radio. I better stop there right there. Okay. Fifth thing is idolatry. What's that? It is image worship. You say, well, I don't have a little brass Buddha sitting in my yard. Well, good for you. You shouldn't. We don't take place in graven images. But if that boat sitting in the driveway is an idol, then it's the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? If those golf clubs sitting in the garage is an idol, then that's the same thing. I always have to mention golf because everybody thinks I'm picking on you, so I always mention golf. And Krispy Kreme. If that's an idol, bless God, that's wrong too. I didn't say I was perfect, did I? Okay. Sixth thing he mentions is witchcraft. That's obviously magic, sorcery, but let me tell you something interesting I found. This word witchcraft in the Bible, I began to track it through the Greek word and the different meanings, and guess what I found out? It literally means taking a substance or medication. You say, was it wrong to take pills? Man, you're jumping on everything. No, it's not wrong to take pills. Listen to me. But it is talking that literally people can end up treating medication like witchcraft. They become addicted to it. Notice what else he says is variance. That word variance means contention, debate, quarrel. He said that's of the flesh. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It wearies me, people that just love to debate and argue over stuff. Yeah. They just love getting into a good one. I don't love getting into a good one. You know what I love? Kissing my wife. Don't you try it. You just take my word for it. I don't love debate. I don't love arguing. I don't love contention. It seems to find me sometimes. But can I tell you this? God says that contention, debate, quarreling, strife, that's of the devil. He says emulations. What is that? It's envy, jealousy. God says that's of the flesh. He mentions wrath. We talked about it this morning. That is fierce indignation. It's of the flesh. He mentions strife, which we know what that is. He mentions this word, seditions. That is division or dissension. That means this, when you can go and what God has his hand on and you try to divide or cause dissension, that's of the flesh. That is not acting in the spirit. All God's people said. Amen. Enough said about that. Then he says this, heresies. You say, what's that? It's basically what it sounds like. It's twisting truth. It's believing things that are not biblical. That's heresy. It's believing things that would come from religion, but not from the Bible. And we've already talked about that in this series. Envyings, we know exactly what that is. Murders, drunkenness, we know what that is. Reveling, this word reveling means rioting. What does that come from? Do we just, as long as we don't pick it out in front of the church and bring a riot. No, it means this, when you begin to gather others to cause a problem. Yeah. That's reveling, and he says that's of the flesh. God's not for something that divides the body of Christ. We all understand that. All right, we can get off that. Those are the fruits of the flesh. Now you say, well, is that all of them? No, it's not. You know why? Look what he said very closely. Look, if you would, at verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That means all these things we mentioned, you say, he didn't mention the one I got. Oh, there's more. There's more. Let's look at the fruits of the Spirit. Look, if you would, at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is. We just saw the fruit of the flesh. We just saw how the flesh will manifest itself in your life. Now let's see how the Holy Spirit, when we're led of the Spirit, how that manifests in our life, how that shows up, the kind of fruit that that brings. Notice number one, he says love. Now, we Baptists have a problem right off the bat there, don't we? You know what Jesus said? By this shall you know that you're my disciple, that you love one another. Love. Let me tell you something. If it's difficult for you to love, then there's a problem. That's a flesh-spirit problem. It doesn't say love certain people, certain kind of people, certain sect of people, certain race of people. It just says love. Isn't that pretty clear? It says love, joy. Joy. That is a sign, that is a fruit of walking in the Spirit. Joy. So as we sometimes are human beings, we kind of walk sometimes and we're down and we're discouraged, we're depressed, and we all get there, but we kind of walk in and we just kind of want to have that pooch lip so that everybody can see that we're not having a good day and we're sad and we're down, and we just want them to kind of come over and say, what's wrong? And then when they do, now we've been doing everything we can do to try to get them over to say, what's wrong? And then when a person comes over, they say, what's wrong? You go, nothing. I'm fine. Well, if you were fine, why did you send the sign out to come talk to me by looking miserable? And then when somebody does, we play hard to get. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. And then they got a cart begging it out of us. You know what one of the fruits of the Spirit is? Joy. So the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That means when Satan's at his battle working in you, if you'll walk in the Spirit, there'll be joy there. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be wonderful. It doesn't mean there's not going to be sickness. It doesn't mean there's not going to be downtimes. But it means in the middle of it, there is joy. I didn't say that I always do it. I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says to do. Your pastor's not perfect. I struggle. I know you don't think so. I struggle with humility most. No, I'm just I am far from it. I struggle all the time with it. Probably more than some of you do, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It says the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Ouch. Let me tell you how you can tell if a church on a whole is walking in the Spirit. Peace. Let me tell you how you can tell if a church is full of flesh. When there's strife. Now, Satan's always going to fight. Look at me. But when we're walking in the Spirit, we're not going to let Satan's fight dictate how we treat others. Because if we're walking in the Spirit, we show love. Fourth, he says this, long-suffering. This is patient forbearance. Long-suffering. It means this. Somebody just gets on your nerves. Now, I'm sure that never happens here. Let's say Brother Daniel preaching just gets on your nerves. We know what the Bible says. The Bible says if you are walking in the Spirit, you will be patient with me. You will bear it. You will put up with it. And you will pray for me. Lord, help him. Lord, help him defeat this giant of Krispy Kreme donuts. And Lord, help him to be kind and to filter what comes out of his mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. You will forbear. we will be patient. You know what that means also? Guess what I'm supposed to do with everybody here also? Forbear. Be patient. That is a fruit of the Spirit. You know what a fruit of the flesh is? Anger. Wrath. That's what he says. But a fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering. Notice this next one. Number five is gentleness. Gentleness. Gentle with each other. Can I say that sometimes people I've had over the years and different things, and I was a youth pastor here before, people say, why don't you just tell them? Why do you keep putting up with it? Why don't you just tell them? Well, you know what? If I did, bless God, I would feel good for about 3 seconds. And then the Holy Spirit of God would convict me like a ton of bricks that that is not of the Spirit, that is of the flesh. Gentleness. By the way, are you gentle with your husband and your wife? Tell you right now, when it's not gentle, that's not spiritual. The Bible makes it clear, doesn't he? When these things show up, you're in the flesh. When these things show up, you're in the Spirit. If these things aren't showing up, you're walking in the flesh, not in the Spirit. Ouch. By the way, that's not for me to look at your life and say, well, I don't see these fruits in your life. No, that's for you to look at your own life. You need to look at your own fruit. And you need to determine, you know what? I don't care if everybody thinks I'm the most spiritual person in this church. If I'm not seeing the fruit I need to see, something's wrong. He says this, number six, is goodness. That word goodness is virtue and benevolence. Goodness. Is there a desire to do for others? Is there a desire to help others? Is that a fruit that constantly kind of shows up in your life that, man, I want to do this and I want to do that? Or is the fruit that shows up in your life constantly wanting people to do for you? Constantly asking, hey, you know, would you do this for me? And manipulating, and hey, would you give me this? Let me tell you something. That's not of the Spirit. That's of the flesh. You know, what's of the Spirit is, what can I do for you? What's of the flesh is, how come you haven't done more for me? That's flesh. Spirit is, how come I haven't done more for you? Then he says this, faith. The Bible says without that, it's impossible to please God. Faith should show up in your life. And I know you say, they're just going down through a list, preacher. Hold on. We're going to get some more in just a second. But you've got to have faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit, which means this. You're not going to have faith if we're walking in the flesh. There's going to be doubt as to whether God can do something. There's going to be doubt as to whether or not you think God is able, or whether God's going to meet a need. That's going to cause doubt if you're not walking in the Spirit, because we're not going to have faith if we're not in the Spirit. Why did God say it's impossible to please me without faith? Because you can't have faith without walking in the Spirit, so you can't please God unless you're walking in the Spirit. Did you get that? Look, you go to number eight, meekness. Meekness is gentle humility. Meekness. I to brag on my dad for a minute. A couple years back, I guess, I don't know if he's still doing this, but a couple years back, my dad would take pieces of paper and it would have a word on it. He'd put it up in the visor of his vehicle as a daily reminder. Every time you get in there, just as a reminder, work on this. And it was patience for a while and different things. And meekness was up there. And it was up there for a long time. That is the worst place to put meekness when you're in a vehicle that you have to drive in traffic. That's the hardest place to be meek, isn't it? Meekness. You know, I think that some of these things, we ought to be putting papers up all over our house, all over our car, everywhere we go. Because they ought to be a reminder. You know what? Meekness ought to be showing up if we're walking in the Spirit. Meekness, humility, lowly, putting others before us. Last thing he mentions is temperance. This is self-control. This word that temperance is used in the New Testament kind of gives the connotation of like an individual lifting weights, that you get up to a certain point and it's so heavy, but you just will not let loose and you just continue to fight and fight and fight. It's self-control. We think of things like, obviously, where we get the word temper from, this word temperance. Temper, you know, controlling ourselves, controlling our emotions, controlling our actions. God says this, that if you walk in the Spirit, that you should have control over these things, not these things having control over you. How many of you have just found out that temper got the best of you, and when it was finally said and done, you felt bad, you felt guilty, then you had to go to the person, I'm so sorry, and all this stuff, and everything would have been so much easier if you had just controlled it from the start. But it's not easy to do, because it requires walking in the Spirit. Now you understand. I want to look at three things. Remember our title, Foundation Forms the Fruit. So take just a second. We'll be done. More than a second. 25, 24, 25, 26, these three verses. All three of these things give a foundation that I want you to see. Number one, in verse 24, we see the foundation of holiness. This is what has to take place for holiness to be in your life. Holiness is what? Holy. It is being Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-controlled. That's why God said, be ye holy as I am holy. You say, how can I be holy like God? I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. I know. But you can be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. So that's holiness. Notice what he says. And they that are Christ, who are we talking about here? Those that profess Christ. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. That is the foundation to holiness. We cannot live a holy life. We cannot live a pure life. We cannot live a consecrated life until you and I daily, and not just daily, I mean hourly, and not just hourly, I mean every minute, and not just every minute, I mean every second of the day, we have to constantly, consistently crucify the flesh. It's not easy. It's not for the faint in spirit. It's not for those that aren't serious about serving God. But we can't be holy. We can't live a Christ-centered life unless we crucify the flesh. You don't come down here one time and do that. When you came down here and did it, you did it for that service right then. And by the time you got out to the car, the flesh was already fighting you again. It's every second of every day. Now, notice this. This word crucify means to extinguish passion or selfishness. To extinguish. Many of you have seen what's going on in Oklahoma. And they got fires burning up homes in Oklahoma. And they found out this last fire that burned, I think, 52 homes was set by an arsonist. In the middle of all this stuff, natural fire going on, then they have somebody starting a fire. And they were interviewing some individuals today, and they said, you know, normally, the firefighters say, normally when a house is burnt, you can come pick through and find some things that weren't damaged so bad. And he said, as we pick through this, everything we touch disintegrates. Listen to me, dear friend. You and I have to literally disintegrate the flesh every day. We have to extinguish it. We've got to put the fire out. You know why? Because our flesh burns inside of us, the Bible says. It burns. And you say, how do you know? Because I know when I get mad at somebody, I can feel the burn start. How many of you are the same way as I do? You just kind of get hot. And buddy, you start getting ready. Because your mind's already thinking of everything you want to say and put them in their place. You know what the Bible says? You've got to extinguish that flesh. You got to put the fire out. You can't play with fire without getting burnt. It's got to be crucified. By the way, you say, okay, what do you mean you crucify the flesh? With the affections and lust. What is that? Affections are emotions. That means this, he says, as you crucify the flesh, you've got to control your emotions because you cannot trust your flesh. That word lust is a longing for what is forbidden. And he says this, every day you're going to have to crucify your flesh and your emotions are going to go crazy. And you have this thing inside all of us that we want what we're not supposed to have. It's because we have a sinful nature. And he says this, Paul says, you've got to extinguish it. You've got to crucify it to be holy. Doesn't sound very fun, does it? I want you to notice verse 25. We see here the foundation of hypocrisy. Verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, which means this, if we're saved, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know what that means? You know, I live in the Spirit because the Holy Spirit lives in me. So we're talking about an individual that the Holy Spirit has regenerated their life. And he says this, if you live in that kind of spirit, then you and I should also walk in that spirit. So it is therefore hypocritical for us to have been saved and say that we are Christians and not walk in the Spirit. That's hypocritical. It's as if we profess the name of Christ, but we live like Satan. It's as if we say, oh, I love the Lord, but I love sin too, which all of our flesh does. So he says this, if you want to be a hypocrite, go ahead and walk in the flesh. But if you want to be consistent, you better walk in the Spirit. Let me read you a couple of verses to explain my point. You just listen to me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says this, I therefore, Paul says, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That we walk worthy. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you starting to get it? Our foundation forms the fruit. He says this, we've got to walk worthy unto the Lord in all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work. That means this, we've got to walk worthy. If we walk in the Spirit, then that will automatically then begin to bear fruit of the Spirit. That means this, our very foundation spiritually determines what kind of fruit we will see. If we're not seeing the fruit, our foundation's not right. I want you to notice thirdly in verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's the end of chapter 5. You say, what is that? We see here the foundation of humility. We've seen the foundation of holiness, then we saw the foundation of hypocrisy, and now we see the foundation of humility. This is what he says. He says, don't desire vainglory. What is vainglory? It is self-conceited glory. It is us desiring to get the glory for anything. Bible says God's supposed to get the glory in everything. And so listen to me, folks. Look at me. I want you to get this. Any glory you and I get is vainglory. Did you know that? And you know what? Oftentimes to try to, you know, the Bible says that, you know, do good to whom it is due and is in the power of thine hand to do it. And we will honor people just like Brother Joe. We had a 50th Jubilee, 50 years of faithfulness. God has used him, worked through him. So we honored Brother Joe. But Brother Joe did not get the glory for 50 years. We honored him for his faithfulness, but God's the one that gets the glory for those 50 years. Does that make sense? Because if he got any glory during Jubilee week, that was vainglory. And he doesn't want that. None of us ought to want that. All of us ought to say, I want God to get the glory for what was done, not me. But when you and I start getting our feelings hurt because so-and-so didn't mention me or thank me from the pulpit, that's not of the Spirit. That's of the flesh. What does this word provoking mean? He said, don't be desirous of vainglory. Don't provoke one another, provoking one another. You know what this word provoke means? It means to irritate, to put in front of. This is what Paul says. Let me tell you why you're having problems in this church. Because you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. You're desiring vainglory. Everybody wants the glory for everything that's done. Everybody gets mad when they don't get the glory. And then you guys are irritating each other because you're trying to put yourself in front of the other. And you know what church ought to be? Church ought to be all of us trying to put someone else in front of us. But what church often turns out to be is us trying to get in front of everybody else. I want to get noticed. I want to get mentioned. I want this. I want that. I want to be in the position I want to be in. I want to do this. I think I deserve this. I think I've been here long enough that I should do this. You know what that is? That is us putting us in front of other people. And church ought to be us putting other people in front of us. We have wonderful deacons here at this church, and thank God for it. And Brother Joe, I've sat and talked with him, and on every occasion of these deacons, all the way back from years ago, Brother Charles Eisenhower, Brother Roger Smith, Brother Burtis Hampton, been deacons I don't know how many years. I think all of them near 30 years or more. And Brother Harold Fulp's been on here not, you know, as many years, but he's been here quite a few years now. Brother Ralph served for a while helping on the deacon board. And without question, every one of them, Brother Joe said, when the time came and I just went and talked to them about being a deacon, every one of them said, not me. There is no way that I would be able, there's no way you've got more people that would be better at that than me. No, there's no way I could do that. And you know what, folks, that's the very ones you want to be deacons. You know who you don't want to be deacons? And you know who you don't want to be in any leadership is the person that's asking for it. The person says, well, I'm glad you finally asked. Because I've got a list of things that I think that my expertise will help. Let me tell you something, you got the wrong attitude already. I'll go ahead and get that out now because I haven't talked to anybody about being deacons. We're going to add some deacons here in the near future. But can I say, so everybody now knows how to answer, don't you? I can see it now. They're just waiting for me to come talk to them. No, not me, preacher. I couldn't do it. No way. I just ruined all that, didn't I? I really did. He says this, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. You know how the whole thing of envying other people comes into play? Look at me, folks. Because somehow along the line, every Christian that's going to serve God and live an upright, holy life has got to get a hold of the fact that I've got to get my God-given eyeballs off of people. I'm not their judge. I'm not to be envious. I'm not to criticize. I'm not to gossip. All the principles of God's words teaches this. Let's keep our eyes off of each other. And our eyes on Christ. And if we do that, we won't be envying anything. It won't be, well, I can't believe that house they got. I can't believe they drive that car. It must be nice. Ooh, Mr. Moneybags over there. Well, dear friend, you are finding the reason now why God hadn't done that for you. Because if we're envious of everything, why would God give us anything? It's just going to make us worse. All God's people said, ouch. Listen to me as I close. It is obvious that God knew we would all struggle with this. That's why it comes right after verse 25. What does verse 25 say? If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. That means this. It is natural for us to desire vainglory. It is natural for us to be envious of people. It is natural for us to want to be in front and to want to get the glory. God says that's flesh, that's natural. And I'm telling you right now, don't do it. And you're going to have to walk in the Spirit to ever be able to not do it. Because if you just let your flesh go, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's really a choice of holiness and humility or hypocrisy. That's your choice. You can have a foundation of holiness and humility, or you can have a foundation of hypocrisy. God's word makes it clear, doesn't it? The flesh and the spirit.